Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
And that score!
Strike three called! 100 miles an hour! His 11th strikeout.
Unbelievable, that same
into center field! Base hit! Hello, Macho Man! Two-run hit!
Every year!
This is a fair ball! It's off the track and off the wall! Spragman, his signature Red Sox moment!
Three singles in a row!
Fastball! Swung on and missed! He got him! Chapman leaves the bases loaded!
How could you not score?
And the Red Sox win game one, 3-1 in the Bronx!
Swung on and missed! Suck my
And you can't take your eyes off
Macho Man!
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
We told you they had an ace, we told you they had a closer, and we told you they had a magician as a manager. And all were on full display last night, Yankee Stadium, Red Sox 3, Yankees 1. Red Sox win the first game of a wild card series, which means if you believe in history, you believe in analytics, you believe in science, they're going to win the series because no one has ever won game one and lost the series. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson here on WEEI Afternoons, where we are leading into momentarily our weekly chat with the manager, Alex Cora. Fitzy, the weapon that is Alex Cora was on full display, no?
Oh, the weapon that was Garrett Crochet. The weapon that was Masataka Yoshida. The
my
weapon
guy.
That was...
He's my guy.
Aroldis. Yes, I know. Yeah, he's still your guy until you decide to kick the... Please, with the chest pounding. Come on.
We'll ignore
we
the
have a ball game in 4 hours. Come
everybody
on.
Everybody noticed the ground ball to second base on his last at-bat of the game, which I laughed out loud about. I was like, thank God that was not the previous at-bat. But Red Sox win 3-1. And there's a lot of pressure, I would say, in New York on the home team, the manager, the pitcher, Rodon, who has not been good against the Red Sox this year. The crowd, good thing they only allowed Yankees fans into that game, huh? That really worked out well for them. But we'll get to all that and much more coming off the big win. But we need to get to the guest line where the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, joins us here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. Cora, I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to assume you're doing pretty well today.
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're great. That was a hell of a fun baseball game last night from start to finish. We'll get into some of the details, but I wanted to first ask you a question. Something I heard you talking about with Will Fleming on the pregame show yesterday, where you said it's alluded to, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's almost easier to manage in the postseason because there's no big picture. There's no looking ahead weeks down the road, next month, whatever. Is there some truth to that? Does it make your job a little bit easier that really, the sole focus is winning a baseball game on a singular night?
100%. 100%. What happened yesterday doesn't happen in August. You know, we're not going to let him go 100 whatever pitches. You know, we probably have to go to the bullpen right after the seventh. it's not that we have a bad bullpen, but you know, in the playoffs, it's all in, you know, and all in might be, you know, using the rover, like we call it, right? The starters coming in as relievers, or letting your ace go out there and throw 117 pitches, you know, and that was a fun night. That was a fun game. And, you know, now we just manage today, see what happens, and hopefully we can move on to Toronto. But if not, we have to be ready for tomorrow.
Alex, I saw in the post game that Crochet said it was going to be, or rather he told you it was going to be a one call to the bullpen type of game. And then he later followed that up by saying it was arrogance that led him to say that and feel that way to you. Do you love that in your ace? And did you ever have any doubt that he had it last night?
The stuff was great. Just one pitch that Volpe put a good swing on and drove it to right field. But you know, after the first inning, he settled down. He started making pitches. And we have talked about this with him during the show. It looks like he gains momentum with the outing, you know, and around the fifth inning, you could tell, you know, the delivery was clean. The pitches were great. Velocity was up there. And it was just one of those that you just sit back and enjoy the ride.
No doubt, Alex. I'm going to try to get a two-for-one question in here. And just talk about the two guys that are on your roster that have World Series rings, that being Alex Bregman and Aroldis Chapman. What have they meant for you this year and specifically in that game last night? How important was that Alex Bregman insurance run and then the, you know, Aroldis Chapman closing out the game with his fastball? What did you think of those two guys last night?
I mean, Alex, he's the leader of the team. You know, this guy is locked in. We just took the 12:30 bus and he's there with us just going over game planning, what Rodon has done the last 2 weeks, how he's going to approach it. And this is what he does, right? Throughout his career, he's been playing in October. He's been able to slow it down and he's been very successful in this month. And with Chappie yesterday, we talked about it after the game. You know, Judge hit it hard, but the other two were singles, you know, and he kept the ball in the ballpark. Then he threw a fastball off to Stanton, right, the first pitch, and he pounded it off. It was a check swing. And there he kind of, like, found it. And that was, I mean, electric, you know. And the atmosphere in this ballpark, man, what a place to be, right? Everybody was in it. And, just happy that we won the game.
You just mentioned earlier that, you know, it's different. It's a one-game season now. Things wouldn't have happened in August. We haven't seen you use Chapman multiple innings much. When we did, it didn't really work. You did that last night. Why did you feel confident doing that? And did you start to doubt yourself at any point when the bases were loaded with no outs?
No. Probably other people were doubting that. But from my end, you know, we make decisions based on preparation, and he's the best reliever in the big leagues, you know, and stuff wise in October, you know, swing and miss matters, right? And, you know, he's been so consistent. It just happened that they were aggressive and it was a bloop single to right, a well struck single up the middle and a bloop single to left, you know, but you cannot second guess yourself making decisions here. I know how it works, you know, everybody's watching, everybody's going to dissect every move, but, if you worry about that, you're in the wrong business. You know, you just got to be locked in and have conviction behind the decisions we make as a team.
Another night, Alex, a very big night, no less. Another different lineup and other, you know, more guys that you wouldn't have expected all the way back in March or April stepping up on technically the last night in September. Talk about how huge Yoshida was with that pinch hit and also Nick Sogard coming through with great base running and two hits last night.
Yeah, Sogi, he's a good player. If you see him play a month or 2 months, you're like, man, he does everything well. It just happens that he comes here for a week and then we send him down. But very fundamental sound, you know. He does everything right. Yesterday put some good at-bats, played good defense, and the base running play is taking advantage of what's out there, right? And he did well. Eaton was good, too. You know, put the ball – we got the double, and then Massa, he was ready. He was ready. We knew that they were going to pivot at one point to the righties. They only have one lefty in the bullpen, so
try to maximize the roster. And he's been swinging the bat extremely well. It's hard for me not to play him, but understanding that we need to play defense in left field and playing JD makes the most sense for us. But having Nate and Massa coming up the bench is good for us.
You know, Alex, the last night was such a stark kind of reminder of the two contrasting styles in both of the ball clubs. And way back in spring training, you talked about how excited you were to have an athletic team. And last night, no errors, great base running, more kind of a small ball approach. Just is this kind of what you had envisioned for this team all along, and it was on display last night?
No, this is the personnel we have right now, right? When the season started, we had the two big boys hitting the middle of the lineup, Rafi and Casas, and they're not with us. Then Roman gets hurt. So now we have to, grind at bats, get that pitch count up, and try to get to the bullpen. We can run. We can put pressure on the opposition. Like I told the guys, if you look back at the season, when we were playing really well, we used the whole field. We took our walks and ran the base as well and played defense, and yesterday was that case.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here with WEEI Afternoons. Speaking of base running and speed, we know Trevor Story is one of the most efficient base stealers in Major League Baseball. That steal was huge. You ended up getting what I guess you could call an insurance run, but didn't seem like an insurance run. How much did that run change the ninth inning in terms of the way that game plays out with the Yankees getting base runners on but needing multiple runs?
We always talk about, just add on and then keep putting pressure on the opposition. And, Trevor, like you said, just one of the best base runners in the big leagues, got a great jump, got their save. And then the kid, put a great at bat, got a split a little bit up, right, and put a great swing for the double.
Alex, I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone in Red Sox Nation when I say that I think I may have had four or five micro heart attacks watching the game last night, one of which was the play where we thought Rafaela was going to track the ball down in center, and there comes Abreu streaking across from right field and catches it right in front of Rafaela's face, who then leaves him looking like he saw a ghost. Did you have a quick conversation with Abreu and Rafaela about maybe calling the ball afterwards when they got to the dugout?
Now they know. They know that they have to be better communication-wise. But one of the things I always joke around with the coaching staff, 2 or 3 years ago, nobody wanted to make that play, and now everybody wants to make it, which is great.
Alex, just keeping with Rafaela, people were saying last night that maybe was his best at-bat, and the guy's had three walk-off hits to win you games this year. Just talk about that 0-2 hole he got in, and then the 11-pitch walk he was able to garner, leading to the two runs in that inning. Just what did you think of that at-bat?
I mean, amazing. And if we can do that consistently, we're going to have a great hitter too, And that's the thing. The kid's only 25. This is his first playoff experience, and he changed the game with that at-bat. Fastballs up, he was able to foul it off. The changeup down, he was able to take it, and it was one of those that we always talked to him about it. Dominate the strike zone. You have to dominate the strike zone. And the last 10 days, he's been a lot better at that.
Alex, the beauty of these interviews now in the postseason, we ask you about last night's game, but now we quickly turn the page forward to tonight's game. Game two, you win the game, you win the series. Rodon on the mound for them. Lineup going to look the same? Will there be any changes? Can you give us a sneak peek at the lineup?
No, it's going to be the same lineup. We're going to catch Narvi today. I think offensively we need his bat there. And I know he hasn't caught Bayo in a while, but, he'll be okay. They're going to be okay.
And as far as the bullpen goes, Alex, save for Crochet, who I imagine will not be available, is everyone available tonight?
Yes, everybody's available. They got a bunch of lefties in their lineup. So, our lefties have to be ready, and hopefully they do the job.
Is Chapman available tonight if you need him?
Yeah, 100%.
With Bayo on the mound and obviously a very strong history, not only this season but against the Yankees, any concern there with how the alteration of the catcher, the battery there, do you fear that disrupts anything with him?
No, I lived this in 18 with Sandy Leon and Rick Porcello coming to New York, and we decided to catch Christian Vasquez. So, I just feel like, we need Narvi's bat in the lineup. He's one of the best defenders in the big league, so he'll be okay.
And, Alex, you have faced Rodon three times this season and have had some success against him, especially in two of those three outings. What kind of challenges does he present, and what's the key for success to your guys tonight against him?
I think Velo is going to dictate who he is, right? There's nights that he's throwing 99, 100. Others, he's throwing 93, 94. So we got to see which version of Rodon is going to be on the mound. It's like yesterday, Fried, right? The last one at home, he was throwing 99. Yesterday, the Velo was 93, 94. He threw a lot of off-speed pitches. So we have to, you know, that first time through lineup, see where we get in and go from there.
Alex, your supporters use your track record in the postseason as an example of you being a weapon for your baseball team, that you're good at this, micromanaging, doing the little things, pulling the strings. Your detractors say, well, you know, he makes the big bucks. This is where he better prove how good he is. Do you relish that opportunity or that challenge to sort of prove your supporters right and prove your detractors wrong?
I just enjoy managing. I enjoy managing in October. I haven't been consistent at playing in October. Aaron Boone has been in October every single season, you know, and that's what I want. And whenever we have a chance as a group, we try to maximize the roster and win every game.
Hey, Alex, a little birdie has told us, because we have spies everywhere, that you're walking around Yankee Stadium right now, just taking it all in. What is this like for you to be playing in Yankee Stadium, and what did you think of the support you got from the Red Sox fans that went to the game last night?
No, that was fun. When Frechet was walking back to the dugout and Chappie was coming in, you could feel it, you know, standing ovation at the end. This place got loud with our fans, and it's such a beautiful place, this stadium. You know, like I said yesterday, we feel comfortable here. Not because it's comfortable playing against them, but the clubhouse and the stadium and the stage, you know. I mean, it's kind of like going to Fenway as a visitor, right? It's baseball. It's baseball, and we're trying to enjoy it.
All right, Alex, thank you for joining us. Thank you for the entertaining game last night. And can we pencil something in for next Wednesday?
Amen to that.
Amen. Right. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Good luck tonight, Alex.
Thanks,
thank you.
Coach.
Yeah, guys.
Amen to that. So amen, pencil it in next Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons.
He can't quit us. He can't quit us.
Damn right.
Everyone's available tonight, boys. Yep. I mean, if you're one of their better pitchers or you've never pitched for them before, but they he calls on you, like, I love it. That means the all-hands-on-deck approach is in. Like, they're going for it tonight. I feel so good about this.
As it should be, because, you know, there's no guaranteed tomorrow. And this is a short series, and I know I keep fixating on it, that you got the first one. You got the important one. You got the crochet one, the one you traded for, the one you paid big money for. You got?
Mm-hmm.
So take advantage of it. Use it as a spring. That's like the blocks for a sprinter, right? You pushed off the blocks. You got that. Now stride this baby out and get your ass to Toronto and take on the Blue Jays and see where you can take this. Because I know it's a little joke that Aaron Boone called him the little engine that could. But if you look at that lineup, it's a little bit of a little engine that could. We're talking about Sogard and Eaton and my guy Yoshida. And I know I said he was going to have a key hit to win the baseball game, but I don't know if deep down inside, if you tortured me like freaking Lethal Weapon and put batteries on my nipples, would I have said I actually think that Yoshida is going to save the season? I'm not sure I would have, but he did.
I did not have you calling out the endo shock therapy from Lethal Weapon on my bingo card for today. But you know what? At the same time, you want a shot at the title? Don't mind if I do.
And you know what would afforded him to kind of bring, all, you know, I just play all those guys that you're talking about, those platoon guys. Yeah. It was, you know, when Aaron Boone thankfully made the decision to go with Luke Weaver in the eighth. That was what was able to get him those guys in the lineup. And you know, that's, to me, that's kind of Alex Cora doing his magic, doing his thing, or believing in his guys. And like they say about acting, you know, there's no small roles, only small actors. And so these guys are all going to play pivotal parts if the further they go. If he gets them in there in situations they perform, it just builds confidence throughout the playoffs.
And I'm especially excited, guys, that tonight, my guy, I know Masataka Yoshida's your guy. We almost broke up this year, but we stuck it out. My guy, Whitlock, is available. And you know, if he needs him, four, five, however many outs he's going to potentially need him tonight, depending on how long Bayo goes. He's there, he's fresh, and he's ready.
Yeah, you're going to need him, and you're going to need everybody. It's all, yeah. Fitzy, you call it kitchen sink, all hands on deck, whatever cliche you want to use. But I think what made Alex Cora's decision to stick with Crochet easy last night is how he was getting better as the game was going. Like, he was actually the lesser of the two aces early on.
Right.
Yep. Right?
Yep.
Max Fried was better early on, and then he gives up that home run, and it's like that almost like the fighter that took one on the chin and was like, dude, did you just hit me?
Sometimes I needed to take a shot early in a game to get me going.
Well, that was it then. Yeah. He took the shot, and after that, it was lights out, and that makes it easier to believe in him and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to keep going with him. I'm going to ride the cowboy that got us here.
It didn't hurt that he had a six-pitch seventh inning, too.
Right. So, yeah, the numbers and everything helped.
Right, that helped a lot.
And it didn't hurt that he was throwing 100 when he left the game.
His fastest pitch was 102, his last pitch.
100 miles. It's unbelievable. 617-779-7937. Red Sox take game one in New York, 3-1 over the Yankees. Game two tonight, same lineup except for Narvaez at catcher. Bayo won't have Wong. He has Narvaez. Thoughts on that and more up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, here's Dan Ball with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by MassMutual. The Red Sox took a 1-0 series lead in their American League wildcard series against the Yankees last night in the Bronx. Garrett Crochet went 7 2/3 innings to pick up the win. His 11 strikeouts set a Red Sox postseason record for Ks by a left-handed pitcher. Aroldis Chapman recorded the save. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch at 6:08. Brian Bayo will start opposite Carlos Rodon. On. Here is Alex Cora with WEEI Afternoons a few moments ago on tonight's lineup construction.
It's going to be the same lineup. We're going to catch Narvi today. I think offensively we need his bat there. And I know he hasn't caught Bayo in a while, but he'll be okay. They're going
to
be okay.
Don't forget, you can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcade is tonight at 5:08, and Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and Lou Maloney are reunited once again for the call of the game. From around Major League Baseball, in the top of the fourth inning, the Guardians lead the Tigers 1-0 on a George Valera solo home run. Tanner Bibee, Casey Mize is your matchup on the mound. In the NL, the Padres visit the Cubs for a game two. Chicago leads the series 1-0. Andrew Kittredge opens for the Cubs with Dylan Cease starting for the Padres. First pitch at 3:08. And in the late game, the Reds visit the Dodgers for a game two as well. First pitch is at 9:08. Zach Littell against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. LA leads 1-0. And from around the league, Brian Snitker will not return as manager after Atlanta failed to make the postseason for the first time since 2017. And a group led by Florida-based real estate developer Patrick Zapolsky closed on its purchase of the Tampa Bay Rays earlier Tuesday. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England begins a three-game road trip in Buffalo against the Bills on Sunday night. Buffalo is 4-0 and has scored at least 30 points in every game. And from earlier today, Patriots cornerback and punt returner Marcus Jones has been named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And from around the league, Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill will not need another surgery after undergoing a major procedure on Tuesday to repair his dislocated left knee and multiple torn ligaments, including the ACL. He plans to play next season. And the Browns are benching quarterback Joe Flacco and will turn to rookie Dylan Gabriel as their starter for Sunday's game in London against the Vikings. Red Sox play this evening, and don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show tonight at 5:08 p.m. with Christian Arcan. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports yakker, the linebacker, and the wisecracker. Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
With Bayo on the mound and obviously a very strong history, not only this season, but against the Yankees, any concern there with how the alteration of the catcher, the battery there, do you fear that that disrupts anything with him?
No, I lived this in 18 with Sandy Leon and Rick Porcello coming to New York, and we decided to catch Christian Vasquez. So I just feel like, you know, we need Narvi's bat in the lineup. He's one of the best defenders in the big league, so he'll be okay.
That was Alex Cora, the winning manager in last night's wild card game in New York, with us here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed the interview, you can go back on the Audacy app, AUDACY, rewind feature, or follow WEEI Afternoons podcasts on the Audacy app, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, guys, so we're riding high. We're talking about a victory 3-1. Every lever and string was proper by the manager last night. Your ace did it, your closer did it, and your complimentary hitters got the job done. So we're riding high. This is the first bit of controversy, maybe, in this series. Connor Wong has essentially been Brian Bayo's catcher all year, personal
Binky
catcher. Yep, all
Binky
year.
Boo.
Mm-hmm. Although technically, six games, Narvaez caught Bayo, and Bayo's ERA is lower in the six games with Narvaez as the catcher than Wong. Smaller sample size, 23 games with Wong, six for Narvaez. Do you believe this is the right decision to keep Narvaez's bat in the lineup? And do you have any concerns, Fitzy, that Brian Bayo's still a young pitcher who a lot of people think maturity and emotions sometimes are part of his downfall? Any concern that this change from his norm could disrupt his usual day?
No, and I'd have to synthesize it if I actually had some significant concerns. Like if you're the nails that a guy like Narvaez has been all season for the Red Sox, then you're built for a moment like this where you take care of the kid and you find a way to showcase why in those six games you had a lower ERA. Just because whatever it is that Wong does, and you know, Connor Wong, for all the jokes and, you know, the butts of all the snide comments we may have made him over the course of the season, was huge with Chapman with the fastball, was huge with Crochet, working on his two and his four seam as well. Connor Wong has to be consulting with Narvaez right now. Here's what he likes here. If you see him do this, try that. Like, I think they should be in constant contact and consult. I don't think this is an issue. And you have to have that. You can't have somebody who hits like a buck and a quarter in a game where runs are going to be at an absolute premium. Last night there were four runs, and if you asked me in the fifth if I thought there'd be four runs in the game, I would have bet the under. So it's the right move.
And it's the right move because, you know, even though the Yankees are basically just trying to hit home runs, I mean, you saw that game last night. Playoffs, it comes nip-tuck. It becomes more strategy. It becomes about advancing guys around the base path. And Carlos Narvaez is a significantly better defender than Connor Wong. So you want your better defender back there as much as you can. And then also with three walks, that tells Alex Cora that Narvaez is kind of locked in at the plate too. He's seeing the ball really well. And so you got to ride the hot hand, in my opinion.
So I agree with everything you all just said. And this isn't about anything other than, what do they usually call it, about 6 inches between the ears of Brian Bayo. That's my one thing. And this is a guy that has taken some time to mature. Dan Ball, he was baby Pedro until he wasn't. He was your opening day starter till he wasn't. And then this year, he kind of hit his stride, save for a little bit of a hiccup, maybe fatigue in September. He was part of that crew. And a lot of that was with Connor Wong. And a lot of that was people giving him credit for not allowing negativity within games to snowball. If you give up a double,
right,
don't walk the next guy. Don't walk two guys.
He was mentally stronger this year.
He was. And I just wonder, I always go back to the same stupid example, the Dumbo effect, when Dumbo has the feather and then he loses the feather and thinks he can't fly and he doesn't know that it's got nothing to do with the stupid feather. Brian Bayo, I think, is a fine pitcher at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees with Narvaez. I just wonder if Wong is his feather.
Narvaez can wear something of Connor Wong's on his person.
So he smells like him?
Yeah, so you know what I mean?
Maybe like trick dogs
like
and stuff.
He's out there with them through spirits and stuff. You know
maybe
what I mean?
The special panties like Bull Durham.
Is that Connor's cologne you have on?
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that'll do the trick.
The thing that I'm kind of on your side, Andy, that I'm curious about this is because the main reason that we were given for why they made that change is because Narvaez wasn't able to calm Bayo down. Cora made an offhand comment like, oh, yeah, the Hispanic guys, they feed off of each other. What whatever he said, the reason they put Wong in there is because he was able to communicate better with him. So you're putting Brian Baio in a clinching game on the road at Yankee Stadium for his first playoff start, and you don't have your safety blanket catcher back there to calm him down if for some reason things go awry with a catcher you haven't worked with in months. I don't love the optics of that.
Yeah, and it's one of those that kind of flies in the face of consistency, and we do what we do, and we're going to be consistent and always do what we do. This is a counterexample to that. Now, the reasoning is simple, Ted. Like, we've looked at that lineup with Sogart and with Eaton and with your guy Duran not exactly knocking the cover off the ball. If you add Wong to that, you're looking at what looks like borderline a split squad lineup from a freaking spring training game.
At best.
Yes. Right. Yep. So I understand wanting to get Narvaez in the lineup, but we also realize there is nothing more important than the starting pitcher. The starting pitcher in baseball is a lot of times decides how the game goes.
Yeah.
And that's Baio. And you are definitely setting yourself up for second guessing. And Alex just said it to us. He doesn't care about that. If you worry about second guessing, you shouldn't be doing this job. You shouldn't be in this job.
Yeah, I don't know. It's time to grow up, Brian Baio. Maybe put Connor Wong at the top of the steps and shine a light on him. And so he just is, he's right there in his periphery. He knows he's close. He knows he's almost out there on the mound. Maybe do something like that.
Have him replace the bat ball guy, the guy that brings the balls to the ump.
Yeah,
have that
be
Connor Wong. Sure. So he enters his vision every few pitches to hand the guy new baseballs.
If he throws a ball, have Connor Wong go out to the mound and talk to him.
Yeah, ask if he can take a mound visit, like when Alex runs out or Bregman runs over to tell him to throw strikes. See if the Wonger can come out. He is completely just a whoopee. Like, he's Kenny's whoopee. It's a deep cut. Don't worry about it. I'm
sure somebody gets it because I don't.
It's Mr. Mom. Well, you go with the obvious one, Dumbo's feather. I go with Kenny's whoopee.
Nice.
But he is 100% just a security blanket. Get over it. Time to grow up. Put on your big boy pants. Go out there and get the GDW at Yankee Stadium.
Because other than that, the numbers for Baio against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, he did have the one rough start at Fenway, are good. Like, as much as we want to cry about they only have two starters now and where's the depth of the rotation, Baio has been a good number two starter this year and has been more than a good number two. I believe Dan Ball, the last two games against the Yankees, two of the three against the Yankees are seven innings, no runs. You get seven innings, no runs, you know what that's called?
A win?
See you in Toronto.
Right.
That's a see you in Toronto game. So that's what he's capable of doing against this lineup. And the flip side of that is, so let's just say this creates a little pressure or angst in Brian Baio's head or in his heart or in his soul, wherever it may be. I also think there is a crap ton of pressure on the New York Yankees. I think there is tonight, and I think that pressure increases by the inning, by the run, unless they jump out to some lead and just play this game on their terms. I think that is just going to build over the course of this game.
You know what it is they're getting the Yankees at a good time because they've made the playoffs. I mean, they were in the World Series last year and lost, but they've been in the playoffs eight of the last 9 years and haven't been able to win the whole thing. There's apathy setting in. Didn't Will Fleming say that there were 6,000 empty seats at the game last
Tickets
night?
Tickets not used.
So they
that's
are...
That's 6,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So it's bad times. I mean, there's a bunch of good audio from the New York media calling out Aaron Boone. So it's kind of they're at a breaking point right now with this team in the Yankees and Aaron Boone. Excuse me.
Yeah, and the meltdown factor over just not coming through with the bases loaded in the ninth and no outs.
Yep.
And even and Ted, New York media, even Yankees fans are kind of disgusted with that whole zip code ticket purchase policy thing. Like, the optics, they're just coming across like losers.
And you know what? But it's a great job of bringing up the bases loaded, no outs. I mean, we've been killing the Red Sox.
It's awesome.
That. The Yankees are dead last in getting runners in scoring position across the plate. In the Red Sox are like 29th, one team above them. So it's kind of funny how that it's the team that the Red Sox are playing now. They can't get the base runners in, and the Red Sox were the second worst at it.
Fitzy, you talk about theater and the theatrics of Red Sox Yankees. I thought there was something very theatrical about Red Sox all year, bases loaded, no outs. Lou Maloney's joking about that's the worst case scenario for the Red Sox offense. They never score. Yeah. And that's how you win the game. You load the bases against Aroldis Chapman, who has a history of questionable postseasons and performances. And there's teams on his resume that are like, That's the Aroldis Chapman we had for a while, right. Not the one you've had all year long, who's perfect.
But the thing was, I mean, Aroldis was, look, I mean, you bring him in for one batter in the eighth, and then he sits for like 20 to 25 minutes before he goes out there to start the ninth. So he's got to get himself going again. And, you know, so I think that was maybe what factored in those base runners.
And I thought he and they brought this up on the broadcast, and I was thinking the same thing. He was not as sweaty as he normally looks entering the game. And
he's
I wondered.
Be, he's got to be so sweaty.
I wondered if he didn't warm up as hard because he's trying to, oh, this is two innings. This is something different. Yep. So I got to be ready to throw a few more pitches. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought even that eighth inning, it kind of looked like he threw one slow slider or something, an off speed. Kind of looks like he was aiming the ball, almost saying, well, I got to go two innings, so I can't just come out here and throw 100 for seven
That's
pitches.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And then I thought as that ninth inning went on, it went upward, and it was like 99, 100, 101, 101, 101, yeah. And then he was just pound. He looked like the guy that has been so dominant all year.
I love how pitchers can set the tone. I mean, like, Crochet set the tone.
Yep.
And Chapman sets the tone, and they're just dogs up there. I just think having those kind of guys, the starter, the closer, you've always been big on the closer, and so have I. Just kind of is the makeup of your team.
And then reverse set the tone. You pulled your ace for the Yankees. You brought in your former closer, and he starts to melt down, and it's like, oh, no, here we – you know there was a here-we-go-again moment there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had faith in the Red Sox. As soon as the pitches started to pile up for Freed, now, I probably would have left him in a little longer.
I think he was finished at 102. Oh,
yeah.
Best thing ever.
I would have kept him a little longer, but I had faith that
– especially after you just struck out Jaron Duran.
You're getting to the bullpen, and when you get to the bullpen, okay, that's when you need to pounce. You know it's going to be a right-hander, so you can start to do your Abreu, Yoshida things and start to kind of pull those strings. I felt good about that, and it ended up working out. I'll be honest, I don't feel good about the catching change. I'm a little worried. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't want to be Mr. Negativity. But if it's like 3-0 Yankees in the first inning.
I hope you're not right. Because
we're going to be talking about the catching change.
The text we're going to get during the game. Oh, I was right.
Have
I was right again.
617-779-7937. Red Sox, Yankees. The Sox are up 1-0. Let's get back to Alex Cora, though. Did he, in fact, become the weapon we expected him to become? And is that difference the biggest difference in this game? Two aces went head-to-head. They both kind of had highs and lows. Two managers went head-to-head. Seems like one fell on his face. The weapons that are the managers for these two baseball teams. That's up next here on WEEIF.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Kind of a small ball approach. Just, is this kind of what you had envisioned for this team all along, and it was on display last night?
This is the personnel we have right now, right? When the season started, we had the two big boys hitting the middle of the lineup, Rafi and Casas, and they're not with us. Then Roman gets hurt. So now we have to, you know, grind at bats, get that pitch count up, and try to get to the bullpen. We can run. We can put pressure on the opposition. Like I told the guys, you know, if you look back at the season, when we were playing really well, we used the whole field. We took our walks and ran the base as well and played defense. And yesterday was that case.
Indeed. Alex Cora, that was the case. You played Red Sox baseball. There wasn't anything overly flashy about the non-pitching performance. The pitching was flashy. Garrett Crochet was flashy.
Oh, yeah.
The way Chapman ended it was flashy.
Sparkly.
But the offense, nothing real flashy. Nope. Even defensively, The only thing that was kind of flashy was
Abreu.
Abreu cutting in front. It was bad flashy. It wasn't good flashy. It was not what we're looking for out
there. What movie was where the? Oh, it was the Bad News Bears. Where basically, what was the manager's name in Bad News Bears? But he basically
Buttermaker
told the really good kid. Catch everything in the outfield. Right. It's like, don't let anybody else make a play out there.
Yeah, but this is the opposite.
He's running around. He's making plays.
This is the opposite. The really good kid was standing there. The center fielder is just standing there like, yeah, this is coming right. Why is this guy coming at a million miles an hour towards
me? Abreu's good. You know, he's got
he's good, but he's not as good as Rafaela. Okay. Well.
Yeah, but he's also a freight train. You saw, like, he's a thick dude. If he runs into Rafaela, that's the end of Rafaela.
I mean, I think if that's a collision, the ball's on the ground, changes the whole game. You lose, and you might lose your two best defensive outfielders.
There were base runners on the base paths, weren't there? I felt like that was a big play.
It was definitely the third out. It was definitely the third out of the inning, and
I think
that could have gone sideways.
I think it had gone if that play's messed up, and it there would have been no excuse for it to be a drop ball. Oh, that to me would have changed the whole complexion of the game.
Absolutely, and you know I had my fears about defense or different things, little things, but nothing little went against them. Right, the little things, which probably is how it has to go and needs to go for the Red Sox to win this series. The big things are the Yankees. I was just talking to Dan Ball during the break off air about how the ninth could have been different if it was a one-run game instead of a two-run game. And he's right. Maybe it wouldn't have been different because maybe the Yankees are just that big swing team that wait for Stanton or somebody to hit a bomb. Maybe they don't think we got to play small ball to beat the Red Sox at their own game.
I mean, can you imagine, you know, Aaron Judge or Carlos Stanton gets a base hit and late in the game, and they sub in for a pinch runner. Right. Like, they're limited in what they can do as far as advancing runners and playing small ball.
And I also think they're limited. I mean, this is getting very homerific if you want to get the Homer horn ready. We talk a lot about vibes. The vibes are on the Red Sox side, even when they're having to play the Eatons and the Sogarts, or maybe because they are having to play the Eatons and the Sogarts. It feels like they are a cohesive, like-minded unit, whereas the Yankees, you got Chaz wondering, like, why he didn't play. Like, you got little angst over there on that side of the ball. Even Stanton is a guy that everybody, I think, loves to see hit bombs and then gets annoyed when he looks so inept not hitting bombs. Because when he doesn't hit bombs, sometimes the guy looks like he could never hit a baseball. He's just swinging as hard as he can. Why do you close your stance so much? Why are you looking at right field? Maybe look
awesome
at the pitcher.
Stance. It's the most intimidating stance in baseball.
100%.
I would crumble just being on the mound going, oh, boy. He's already loaded his back foot. Oh, my God.
But
oh,
I think
go ahead.
I think accidentally Aaron Boone gave you a little, with Cora saying no one picked us, and then Aaron Boone goes, oh, that little engine that could over there.
Yeah.
You might have kind of described what they are now. The little engine that, like, I think I can. Like, you got Judge, we got Sogart, you got Stanton, we got Eaton. Like, it's this, like, juxtaposition, but at the helm of it all is Alex Cora having to pull it all together.
Did you hear who Alex Cora said was the leader of the team, though? Not Marcelo Meyer. And not Roman Anthony, and not Christian Campbell, but one Alex Bregman.
Well, it'd be hard for those guys
My guy, Alex Bregman.
Those guys aren't with the team. They are in, they're like a three-hour flight
away. Couldn't be relied on. Couldn't count on them. Couldn't be there
for the playoffs. Is that where we're going here, Ted?
What do you think Bregman said during that mound council after Chapman gave up the three straight singles in the ninth? Bregman had a very intense look on his face. There could have been at least, if not multiple, F-bombs in there.
Yeah, no one knows because Carl Ravitch asked that question. Remember the broadcast? Carl Ravitch asks his two Major League Baseball players, what do you think Bregman said there? Quiet. There was like nothing. Neither of them had anything to offer up.
Well, because he didn't ask about Aaron Judge.
There you go.
Dan, you've been waiting for this.
I want to hear this.
No, that's okay. I just would like to thank the booth of Fleming, Middlebrooks, and Lou for being the most objective broadcast from last night's game.
Go.
That was a travesty last night.
A lot of
on
ball
ESPN.
Washing early in the game.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
I agree with you. And what makes it worse is the team that was winning and the team that was doing things the right way over the second half of the game. To me, it sounds even worse. If the Yankees had come out and just mowed the Red Sox down, it's almost okay to be Homer leaning toward them because they're proving you right. They're showing you they're the better team. They weren't the better team. They weren't the better team at all, except you're treating them like they're the better team in this game.
It got pretty quiet in the last three innings when they didn't have anything prepared about the Red Sox, and the Red Sox were winning the baseball game.
Red Sox notes. Does anybody have Red Sox notes?
Who's this Nick Sogard guy?
Yeah, how the hell is anyone supposed to know anything about Nick Sogard? Sox fans don't know anything about
him. I was studying Judge and Stanton all night long.
What a play by Judge when he got himself turned around and lost in right field.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was the one that set me off. The rest of it, I was kind of playing along with you. Didn't bother me as much, the Homer Yankees. But that should have been a routine catch that he turned into a bit of a circus catch. He almost screwed that up.
Right, and the Red Sox have runners on base the next inning, and Ravage goes, but don't forget about that great catch by Judge that nobody cares about.
He literally was. He was still referencing it innings later.
That's
and it was
the
like,
worst comment right there.
It was. It was annoying.
I got one more real quick. There was a... this has been on my chest for 12 hours. Max Fried picked over with a runner on first base. Runner gets back standing. He was no more than 3 feet from the bag. And Eduardo Perez goes, oh, what a great pick over there by Fried. All right, I'm done. Yeah. Thank you. I'll exit my soapbox.
Meanwhile, you got guys like Adam Schein, who tweeted out last night, how great listening to Sean McDonough call baseball games. Call a gem of a playoff baseball game on ESPN. The man is a national treasure.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and we get Ravage and Eduardo.
You think they'll change their tune tonight? Now that the Sox are up 1-0 and history tells us they're going to win
the
series.
Keep playing the disrespect card. That's fine. That's how this particular iteration of the Red Sox is most comfortable. 100%.
I would have had, if I were Alex Cora or St. Bregman, whoever wanted to do it, I would have had a local print shop, Fitzy, make Little Engine That Could t-shirts. I absolutely would have those t-shirts passed around.
Let's win a series and then
no, we're going to win the series. Okay. We're up 1-0. Okay. Didn't I not tell you? Did you not read my tweet? 12 times there's been a wild card series.
I'm sorry, I didn't read your tweet.
12 times game one winner has won the series.
Put that on a t-shirt. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't read your tweet, bud.
History is undefeated. The Red Sox are going to win this series. Whether it's tonight or whether it's tomorrow, the Red Sox are
Did you read that
series.
Somewhere? Did you do the research yourself and find that out? That's what
it was. The Red Sox notes. Hey, they put them out. I'm going to make use of them.
That's pretty much all I do.
Maybe if the freaking ESPN crew had done that, they'd had a little bit more of a balanced booth and Dan Ball wouldn't be so pissed 12 hours later here on WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next, we will do our three-point stances. And I used my crystal ball the other day and I had that Yoshida vision, that Yoshida big hit, Yoshida wins you the game vision. Well, my crystal ball has another vision. That's up next in my three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.